So yeah, let's go ahead and get started, man. I want to know, how was you guys' week? I hope it was blessed. It's another Wednesday. I hope everybody's week was blessed. I'm trying to get to my notes because I'm trying to stay a little bit on assignment. So yeah, man, as y'all coming in, man, how was your week? I hope your week was blessed. If you see my page, me and Avery went to the daddy-daughter dance. And man, I ain't gonna hold you. I was done, man. My daughter, she's 6. She was a preemie, so you know, she was born at 6 months, literally three days before my birthday, June 10th minus June 13th. So we share birthdays. And so she was born a preemie. So just to watch her grow and deal with all that in the NICU and having oxygen tanks and seeing all these things hooked up to her, just to see her now at 6, just, man, it's just amazing. God is so great. Just how he's been with me and my family, my wife, myself, and my daughter. But anyway, so we went to the daddy-daughter dance. And when I tell you, when she came down those stairs, you can see my video, and Randy didn't put it all out there, but when she came down those stairs, man, I just got so choked up, because to see my little girl all dressed up, and she had on some little like body spray and a little lip gloss, and like, man, I was boo-hooing. I had to go upstairs. Like, I'm not ready for this. And like, literally in that moment, I ain't gonna lie to y'all, I saw like prom, and I saw her getting married, like all the great milestones that happened, like just literally flashed before my eyes. And I'm like, this is it. Like, this is what it's about to be. Like, for the next 18, 19 years, watching her grow, man, I'm a big softie right now. But it was just so much fun. She got there, she dissed me, of course, kicked me to the side, and went and danced with her friends. But she did come back, and we did get to dance a few times, and it was good. You know what I'm saying? I was glad that we were able to go. So I was excited for that, man. But I pray that your week has been blessed, and I pray that you did something, you know, that contributed to your mental state, that contributed to something that made you feel good, that something that pushed you to be a better person, something that may have brought you pleasure, something that may have allowed you to help you to just to relax, like whatever that may be. You know, I pray that you did that. I want to hop in, man, and talk about what we came to do, man. And that's talk about life. That's talk about things that we're going through, things that we are experiencing, and taking the word, taking the scripture, taking the Bible, and seeing how we can use that and apply that to our practical lives. Again, I kind of jokingly said last week that, shoot, this might be the only church that some of us go to. One thing I've been learning is that your life is sometimes the only church or the only Bible that people see. And yesterday after work, I had an opportunity to share with a friend of mine who I work with about the word and about my life with God. He had a few questions, and I was able just to pour into him to help him. And wasn't at a church setting. We wasn't speaking in tongues. We wasn't shouting. We were just having real life conversation, because people are experiencing real life, and people need to know that you can make it. I don't have to wait till Sunday to experience life, to experience the goodness of God, to experience something great. I don't have to wait till Sunday. I don't necessarily have to have a pastor praying over me. I don't have to have people laying hands and speaking in tongues and all that, which I do believe in all that. I think there's a time and a place for that. But, you know, the majority of our time is spent away from a building. The majority of our time is spent away from a church building. It is spent amongst people. And we have to know how to interact and how to just, I'm going to just say how to be regular. We can't be so churched out that people feel like they can't talk to us. For a lot of my life, I'm telling you, like I live like that, where I was just so churched out that everything that I talked about, I talked in churchanese. You know what I'm saying? That was the language that I used, churchanese, and just all these terms that you only use in church. And it's like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to get $10 to put in my gas tank, and you talking about speaking in tongues. Like, we ain't on that. So today I want to talk about how to live your life poured out. That's something that I've been like really working on and trying to do more, is just live my life poured out. So what do I mean by that? Like, how do I live my life empty? A lot of times when people say, you know, you're living your life, I'm on E, I'm on empty, I don't have anything left to give. And there are times when you are, you know, mentally depleted, your energy is depleted, like your state. I just need a couple of days to just go and get it together. But I'm talking about, how do you live your life where you are always able to pour into people, to pour in and give to people, not necessarily money, not necessarily things physically, but how are you able to uplift people? How are you able to pour yourself out? How are you able to be an encouragement to people, to be an encourager? How are you able to do that? So there's something I want to read from the Word, from the Bible. And I took this when I read it, I was like, man, I've read this story a million times. But as I was reading it this time, a few things stuck out to me. So it's in 2 Kings, starting in chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, he was a prophet, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. So it goes on to say that the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. So he owes some people some money. What shall I do? So Elijah said to her, he said, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? That's key. He asked her, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Wow. All right, we're getting somewhere. So verse 3 says, then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her sons, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one more vessel. And the oil stopped. Then she came to the man of God, and she said, go. And he said, go sell your oil and pay your debts, and your sons can live on the rest. So it's a lot in that, but it's a couple things that stood out to me. Number one, I believe that if you stay empty, you'll always be full. What do I mean by that? If I stay empty, if I'm always able to put myself in a position to where I'm able to pour into others, whether I'm pouring into my wife, my child, whether I'm encouraging family members, whether it's friends, whether it's a stranger on the street, I truly believe that if I'm able to stay where I'm constantly pouring out, God is always going to pour back into me everything that I need. We're talking about living a life poured out. How do I live on empty? I'm not talking about living on empty as in I'm depleted emotionally, I'm depleted physically, I'm depleted spiritually, where I'm just so drained, where I just have nothing left to give. I'm not talking about that, because there are times when we do need a break. There are times when we do have to take a break. There are times when we are going to be at a place where it's like, man, I can't give right now. I can't do any of that right now. I just need to go and refill myself. But I'm talking about when you've been putting the work in, when you've been working on your mental state and your spiritual well-being, your financial well-being, your physical state, your physical health, your eating. When you've been doing the things to make yourself whole, healed, and healthy, and you say, I've gotten to a point where now I feel like I'm ready to re-enter into the world, right? Because there was a point in my life where I had to detach from social media for a while, when I had to detach from friends, when I had to detach from family, because I was just mentally drained. I was depleted. I was at a point where I just didn't know if I was gonna make it, and I did not have much to give. And I said, at this point, I need to be able to give the best of myself to the two people that I'm living with, my wife and my daughter. So I just had to cut away from the world for a little while. And I had to not give anybody anything. I was showing up for work, and I was just doing what I needed to do to get paid. I was doing my job. I was showing up at family functions, and I was there just to say, hey, I'm here. I was showing up even sometimes at the church we started attending just because I felt like I needed to be there. Like, I have to be at church. I gotta be here. But on the inside, man, I was a mess. I was just totally, totally just broken. You know what I mean? I was broken. And so I knew that at this point in my life, at this state of my life, I have nothing to give nobody. And I feel like a lot of us may be at different places in life. We may be at different places in our walk, in our journey. And I hope I'm able to speak to all of us, and something in this is going to touch you no matter where you may be at in your journey. So I was depleted, like this woman. You know, I had debts to pay, but I didn't have anything to pay those debts with. And what I mean by that is that I still had to show up for my family. I still had to be there. Like I said, I was still going to work. I still had debts to pay that I had to be there, but I did not have much to give. So Elisha, he tells this woman, he says, first of all, what do you have in your house? And that's the first question that I'm asking you, because I asked myself, what do I have in my house? What do I have in my house that I can use that I'm going to be able to refill myself? What? I don't have to go outside. I didn't want to go outside. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want a whole bunch of people knowing my business. Didn't want a whole bunch of people knowing what I was going through. So I had to say to myself, what do I have in my house that I can use to pour back into me? And I'm going to be honest. All I really had was my wife and my daughter. So then I said, what else do I have? Well, I knew that I had God and I knew that I had that word. So I literally began to find scriptures and find things in the word that spoke to exactly what I was going through. I begin to find scriptures on forgiveness. I begin to find scriptures on brokenness. I begin to find scriptures that dealt with healing, that dealt with renewing my mind, that dealt with renewing my heart and getting rid of things in me that I knew were killing me. So first of all, I said, what do I have in my house? So I said, I got books because I love books. I love reading. I have all these books that I've just been purchasing and buying that I buy them. I read a chapter and it sits on the shelf. I said, what do I have in my house? So I went and I looked around. I started finding books. I said, oh, I got a phone. I have the internet. So I began to get online. I found preachers and teachers that I felt were able to speak life into me. Some of these people I had never met, had never heard of, but I began to find community. I began to find groups of people that were like-minded, that were going through similar things or had experienced similar things. And I began to listen to their stories. And I began to listen to how they were able to pick up the pieces and move forward in their life. So first of all, I said, what do I have in my house? So I found things that I had. And it's just a metaphorical question, like, what do you have? It may not be literally in your house, but what do you have around you? Who are the people around you that you feel that you can trust, that you feel that they're able to pour into you? What do you have in your house was the first question that I asked. I said, what do I have? What do I have? Because I was empty. I was broken. I was depleted. I was mentally drained. I was spiritually drained. I was emotionally drained. I was physically drained. Like, shoot. Everything around me, I was drained in. I just showed up to show up. I showed up because I knew how to put a smile on, but I didn't have much to give. So I began to say, okay, God, how can I pick up the pieces and begin to move forward and start this process of healing and start this process of rebuilding, per se, my life, right? How can I do that? So as the prophet Elisha said, he said, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? Let's go back up because I want to walk through this. He said, what do you have in your house? She said, just a jar of oil. And if you grew up in church, if you've been to church, you hear people talk about oil. Oil is something that is precious. You know what I mean? Oil was something that was considered sacred and it was valuable. It was very valuable back in that time. Even now, shoot, everything's valuable now. Eggs. But what do you have in your house? And the oil was something that was precious, something that was very precious to her, and it was worth something. So he said, get the oil. And then he said, what else do you have? She said, a jar of oil. So then he said, go find some empty vessels. Go to your neighbors and go find some empty vessels. And then after you get those empty vessels, I need you to go into a room and shut the door behind you. Sometimes in life, you have to go to a place where it's just you and God. Sometimes you got to go to a place where it's just you and people that you trust. Shut the door behind you. Don't tell nobody where you're going. Don't tell nobody where you're at. And you have to stay there so that God can pour back into you so you can pour into others. Sometimes you have to get to a place, a space in life where I got to go into, some people call it the secret place. Some people call it my prayer chamber. Every day, I knew I had to go to work. And every day, I knew that my drive to work was about 35 minutes. So I knew I had 35 minutes to myself. Just me, my thoughts, and my God. I had 35 minutes every day that I was going to drive to work and that it was nobody in that car. It was just me. And in those 35 minutes of driving to work every day, there were days I cried. There were days that I yelled. There were days that I wanted to cuss. There were days where I had choice words. But the point of those days and going into that place was it was a place where nobody was judging me. It was a place where I didn't have to explain my feelings to people. It was a place where I didn't have to explain why I felt a certain way. It was a place where I knew that I could say what I wanted to say. I could say it how I wanted to say it. And nobody was going to be there to question why I'm saying it, to question why I was feeling like that. It was a place in those 35 minutes where I was able to allow the Holy Spirit to just talk to me and to minister to me. It was a place in those 35 minutes where I knew that I could listen to teachings, or I could listen to podcasts or things that I found that I felt were pouring into me. I could listen to those things uninterrupted. It was just a time, a place of peace where I was alone with my thoughts. And even though it was 35 minutes, every day for 35 minutes, I knew that I had that time where I was able to process what I was going through. I was able to put those things into the atmosphere. I was able to share those things with my God. This was a place, this was my empty vessel, because I was able to pour out myself in that place, meaning that I was able to get out all the things that I was dealing with for a good 35 minutes. And by the time I got to work, man, I felt great. Now, there were days when I would get to work and I was still like, man, I just need another minute, because thankfully for me, I work by myself. So then if I needed more time while I'm in my work truck, I would be able to cry again. I would be able to listen to the word. I would be able to listen to podcasts, teachings. So what am I saying? Just like Elisha told that woman, you need to go get that oil. Come on, go get that oil. After you get that oil, go get them jars. And then after you get them jars, go in the room and shut the door behind you. We have to learn that sometimes it is okay to be alone. And we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to say that. We think that saying that I'm being alone, oh, you can't be alone. No, sometimes you need to be alone. Sometimes you got to be alone. It's just nobody but you and God. Sometimes you got to be in a space where it's just you and God. Because there are times in our lives when there are so many thoughts, so many things going on, so much in our mind, that if I were to talk about it, people gonna think you crazy. People gonna think you lost your mind. People gonna think that you are losing it. And so there are times, yeah, when you have to be alone. You have to go to the room and shut the door behind you so that nobody can enter and you can't leave out. So I'm hoping that you are feeling encouraged to know that, yeah, it's going to be times when you have to be alone, that you just got to go shut that door. You got to get that oil. You got to get them vessels, and you got to say, okay, God, it's just me and you. What are you going to do for me? Because I need you to do something for me. How can I get to a place where I can live my life poured out? I'm on empty. I'm empty, but I want to be poured out. I'm empty, but I want to get to a place where I can give back to others. I want to get to a space and a place in my life where I'm able to give what I'm able to give. I want to give. I made a post the other day, and I think I said, we're too gifted to not pour into one another. We're too talented to not give to one another. We have so much to offer. I think a lot of times we have people who have been gatekeepers who gatekeep. Man, I'll be a fool if I've lived my life for 42 years and I've experienced life and I've experienced the ups, the downs, the highs and the lows. I would be a fool to keep all the wisdom and the knowledge that I've gained to myself. Like, why would I want to keep all this information or knowledge or wisdom that I've been gaining over the past 42 years to myself when I have nieces and nephews and friends and people who I know that are going to experience life just like I've experienced it? So sometimes in life, you got to get to a place where it's just you and God, and you got to shut that door behind you. And if people are looking at you, you're going to have to look at me funny. Like, even now, just even getting on here and talking to a camera, I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know if anybody's listening, but one thing I do know is that I feel in my heart that this is something that God wants me to do. And it's a little silly to get on here and to talk and you saying stuff and you sharing personal experiences with the internet and with the world, and you don't know who's on the other side of that. Like, that's wild, man. That's crazy. But like that woman who went into her door, who went into her room and closed the door and allowed, I'm going to say she allowed God to pour into her. She allowed God to pour into her because as she, oh, I got my sister. What's up, Keish? I got my sister here with me. You know what I'm saying? And you've been poking me on Facebook. I don't know why y'all, what's up, all y'all poking, all these pokes. I'm going to have to turn that stuff off. But again, sometimes you have to get to a space in a place where you in the room by yourself and it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like because some things are just a little bit bigger than us. I believe that there are some things in life that are bigger than us. So like that woman who she probably felt like to go get this one jar of oil, then to go to her neighbors and say, can I borrow some empty vessels? Can I borrow some empty jars? I need some jars. And then to go into her room with one jar of oil, with all these vessels, with all these empty jars and say, I'm going to close the door and I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to trust this word from this man, from this prophet to say, I'm going to fill up. Imagine she had 50 empty jars and she had one jar of oil about the size of this. I talked about my little sister. This week, I'm going to big up my big sister because she's on here and she has been telling me for the long, just keep doing it. Just keep going. And like she stays on me. Like when I'm telling you, she stays on me and I appreciate her encouragement because like sometimes you need that. And we're talking, it's crazy. That's not crazy that she's on here, but that's just great because it leads to sometimes when you're in that room, you're going to have people who you can lean on. I said, it was just me, Randy, Avery, and my family, my sisters, my parents. And I knew that I could lean on them. So while I'm in that room pouring out, they're pouring into me. Sometimes you got to find other people who can pour into you. And my older sister was one of those people who was always on me. What you doing? Why ain't you lying? Why ain't you doing what you said you was going? You told me you was doing it. I'm sitting here waiting and she stays on me. And so you need people like that in your corner and she gets on my nerves. But I appreciate it because I know that she sees the greatness that's in me and just like I see the greatness in her. And so I'm saying all that to say that in your secret place, in that room, as you are with your one jar of oil, that you have all these empty vessels. And as you're pouring out, somebody's going to be pouring into you. Because the point of this is that I want to be in a place, in a space that I'm always empty, meaning that I'm living my life poured out, meaning that I'm living my life giving to others, giving, encouraging others, uplifting others, helping people see the greatness in them, helping people see the potential in them, helping people reach their goals, helping people develop and cultivate the gifts that are inside of them. That's my goal. I want to live a life where I'm empty. When I leave this place, I want to be able to say, I gave my all. I gave everything I had. I don't want to be a gatekeeper. I don't want to keep anything for myself. I don't want to hoard anything. I want to be able to live my life poured out. I want to say that I gave. There's a song Beyonce said, I was here. I live, I loved, I did everything in my life that I thought that it would be. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to live my life poured out. I want to take this jar of oil. Shout out to my boy Khan, who sent me his air freshener spray. It's called Vibe Mist. But I want to take this jar, one little bitty jar of oil, and I want to be able to pour into as many people as I can. And sometimes it looks crazy. Sometimes it looks like this, showing up. I didn't want to show up today. I was tired. I didn't want to show up, but I said, I'm going to show up. Pouring out means consistency, being consistent in what you're doing. Always showing up. It's going to be times when you don't want to show up. But in those times when you don't want to show up, you have to show up because you never know who's depending on you. It was her and her sons. Yeah, her and her sons. And she closed the door. So it was her and a few people that she trusted. So that goes on to say that in that room, find you people who you can trust. Find you an inner circle. Find you people who you know that can give to you, that can pour into you, who you can trust to uplift you, who you can trust to tell you the truth when you don't want to hear it. Let me sip my coffee on that note. Find you some people who can tell you the truth when you don't want to hear it. That's a big one. That's a part of pouring into people. It's telling people things that they don't want to hear. Telling people what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Last week, we were talking and one of my cousins was on here and she was saying that, you know, when you're assertive, sometimes that comes off as aggressive. And that's so true. That sometimes when you tell people the truth, it can come off as being hurtful, as being aggressive. But man, I would rather you hurt me with the truth than you coddle me with a lie. I don't need to be coddled to. I don't need to be, oh, you're so precious. Yeah, we're all precious people, but the truth shall set us free, right? That's what the word says. The truth is going to set us free. So I would rather you tell me the truth than to spare my feelings with a lie. Because eventually that lie is going to hurt me. It's going to kill me. The truth is going to be what saves me. I want people around me that want to save me. I want people around me that want to see me succeed. I want to be a person in your life that can tell you the truth, and then I can tell you the truth in love, and that you receive it in love. So we got to get to this point. We got to finish walking through this because I got to go to work. So we got to walk through this. But again, her and her sons, they went into the room. It was two people that she trusted, her sons. And she said, bring me those jars. So they brought the jars. And as she began to pour that bottle of oil, she began to fill up every single jar. She filled up enough jars that she could sell the oil and live off the rest. That's how much she was able to pour out. That God met her need. And not only did he meet her need, that he gave her overflow. So the Bible it says that she went and shut the door behind her. Let me pull it back up. She went and shut the door behind her and her sons. Right. We're reading this. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one more vessel. And the oil stopped. Now, that to me stuck out too, because God said to me, he said that, you see how once all the vessels were full, the oil stopped? God said, if you want to stay full, you have to stay empty. And that, I'm like, that don't even make sense. He said, if you want to stay full, if you want to stay full with the things that you need, if you want to stay full with all that you need, you have to learn to stay empty. And that don't even make sense. I'm telling y'all, y'all look at it like, that don't make sense. It doesn't. But what does that mean to me? To me, it meant that if I want to continue to stay in a place where God is always meeting my needs, where God is always giving me more than what I truly need, that I have to be able to give back to others. That for me, I have to be able to be empty. I have to be able to say, you know what? I learned this, and now what I've learned, I'm going to give it back to somebody else. A lot of us are walking around full. We're walking around fat when we should be walking around empty. Like, why do we want to gatekeep? Why do we want to continually gatekeep? And this goes all, this continues to go back to a lot of the things that we've been talking about when it comes to, and I think next week I'm going to talk about generational curses. I like to call them cycles of abuse. So we're going to talk about that next week. But this is setting the stage on how we continually break cycles of abuse and mistrust and generational curses. If I know that when I walk out that door, there are no steps, right? And so I know that. But if somebody who's coming behind me doesn't know that there are no steps and I don't tell them, I'm setting them up for failure, right? So that's what I mean when I say stay empty, is that if I learned by bumping my head, why would I want people coming behind me to have to bump their heads again? And I'm telling you, this message is gonna sound redundant, but the reason it's gonna sound redundant is because I'm determined that the generation coming behind me does not have to make a lot of the mistakes that I made, that they don't have to go through a lot of the things that I went through. So if I walk out this door and I know that there are no steps and I don't tell the people coming behind me, man, I'm a gatekeeper. That's lousy. That's trash. So when I say live your life poured out, if you want to stay full, you have to stay poured out, meaning that if I'm constantly pouring myself out, there's always room for me to receive more. A lot of us just stay full. We gain knowledge, we gain understanding, we gain wisdom, we gain life experience. And because we've been hurt and because of what's been done to us, we continue those cycles of doing that to others. So yeah, that the stove is hot, but I'm not going to tell you the stove is hot. You got to learn the hard way. Like, we have to break that mentality of saying that I gotta learn the hard way. The only way they're gonna learn, yeah, you are gonna bump your head at times. You're gonna make some mistakes. You are gonna have some bruises. You are gonna have some scars. But I believe that it is our job to help people, to help them mitigate as much hurt as we can. Because if I know that, again, I'm using that example of walking out this door and there are no steps. And I walked out the door and I found out there were no steps and I fell. So I came back and then I see people walking out the door and I'm not telling them. One, I'm a trash individual. Two, maybe I should tell somebody, hey, bro, ain't no steps right there. We need to get that fixed so that people coming that they won't fall. So if I don't tell anybody that there are no steps and then I don't find a way to help to fix the fact that there are no steps, man, I'm a gatekeeper. I'm living my life full. I need to be able to give myself away. I need to be able to give the things that I learn away. And people so scared of giving stuff away because we feel like somebody gonna one up us or they gonna get one up on us. Like, I want, man, I'm telling you, I want people coming behind me to have it better than I had it. I want that. I desire that. Like, when you're afraid of people, and this is something that I'm telling you, I'm just being vulnerable, being honest. These are things that I've worked through and things that I'm continuing to work through. Like, I used to didn't want, like, I was a gatekeeper, and I'm going to use music production. There were times when I would learn something, and somebody would ask me, hey, show me that. So, I'm talking about Randy had wanted me to teach her how to play the keyboard a long time ago. Like a long time ago when I was still playing keyboards years ago. And so I finally told her a couple weeks ago, like, why I was afraid to teach her. I was afraid to teach her because I thought that they were going to ask her to replace me because I had insecurities in me. That this was something that I was good at. This was something that I excelled at. That, oh, like, this is mine. I play the keyboard. I'm good at that. This is what I do. And I was afraid that if I taught her what I knew, that she was going to take it, be better, and that she was going to, that they were going to ask her to replace me. Had nothing to do with her. Had nothing at all to do with her. It had everything to do with the insecurities of myself because I wasn't secure enough in who I was to know that even if I'm replaced, I'm still more than enough. I'm still enough. I'm still enough. And so that's what I mean when I say live empty. Like, that's just one example. Like, and I had to realize that. Like, it took me a lot to tell her that. Like, man, like, I was afraid that if I taught you how to play the piano, like, if I taught you this, that I was going to be replaced, that they were going to ask you to play and they were going to replace me. And that had nothing to do with her. It had everything to do with the insecurities in myself. Like, those were insecurities in me. So what am I saying? If you're afraid of being replaced, if you're afraid that if you tell somebody something that you know and they're gonna, you know, be better than you, it's not a reflection on them. It's more of a reflection on us. It's a reflection on me. It's a reflection on you that there may be some type of insecurity inside of you that makes you feel like you're not enough. A lot of times we repeat cycles because these are the things that have been done to us. People usually do what's been done to them. When people abuse and misuse people, it's because it was done to them. And I'm not going to let that happen to me again. So the only way they know for that not to happen to them again is for them to do that to somebody else. It's power, it's abuse, and it's manipulation. So I feel like if I live my life poured out, the things that people did to me, they can't do them to me anymore because I'm not going to allow it. I'm going to change the cycle. I'm going to break the cycle that has been done to me. So if somebody would not teach me something, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to be a person that's going to teach somebody else something because that is what was done to me. And I saw how it stifled my growth because people refused to help me or refused to teach me or people refused to do things differently. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a person. And at 42, it's crazy that now, you know, and I'm big enough to admit, like, I'm just really now grasping that, like, there were insecurities in me that caused me to hold on to everything that I learned, everything that I was taught, everything that I gained. When I went and learned something, I learned the chord. I ain't showing nobody this chord. I went and learned how to do some music production. I ain't showing nobody this. And it had nothing to do with anybody else. It had everything to do with me because I had so many insecurities inside of me that I was afraid that people were going to not, I wasn't going to be needed. And I'm like, man, if this group don't need me, I'll go find a group who appreciates me. Go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. And so I'm saying all that to say is that if you live your life poured out, you'll always be poured back into. When the oil, when the vessels were full, the oil stopped flowing. And I truly believe in my heart of hearts that for a lot of us, the reason why we're not getting to that next level is because we're too full. The reason why things aren't breaking in our lives, the reason why things aren't happening in our lives is because we're too full. It's because we weigh too much. This next level, I can't carry what I have on this level to the next level. The only way that I can get rid of things is if I start to pour myself out. If I start to give myself away, if I start to give away some of the things that I've learned, some of the stuff that I've acquired, it's like when you're moving to a new house, you may be moving to a bigger house, but why do I want to bring all this old stuff to a new house? I can fill with new furniture. I can get new things. Some stuff you're going to have to bring with you, but why would I want to bring all the things that I've acquired to a new place, to a new space, when I know that there's another family coming that they may be able to use? They may be able to use this furniture. I don't need this furniture anymore. This furniture that I have, it's not raggedy. It's not janky. I took care of it. And I see somebody coming behind me who's moving to a new place that they may not have the means to purchase brand new furniture. So until they can get new furniture, hey, you can have this until you can get to where you got to get to. But if I'm so worried about people replacing me, or if I have this much insecurity in my heart or in my life, if I live with that insecurity, I will never, ever grow. I will never be able to pour myself out because I'm too insecure. And that goes for even like with our children, within our families. Man, you see somebody who's like, dog, like, how did you do that? And they don't want to share. I get it. There are things that you have to learn on your own. But it goes back to the step analogy that if I walk outside this door and there are no steps, and I know there are no steps, and I don't tell people there are no steps. Now, once I tell you that there are steps, then if I tell you there are no steps and you still proceed to go, that's on you. But if I tell you there are no steps and you say, hey, man, let's figure out how to get some steps, now we're working together. Now, once you get down those steps, you got to figure out what to do next. But I'm not going to continue to gatekeep or to hoard when I really believe that according to what the word says, that the reason why the vessels were full and the reason why the oil stopped flowing is because the vessels were full. I truly believe that she would have had another empty vessel, the oil would have kept flowing. So what am I saying? That if you stay empty, if you live your life poured out, if you get knowledge and you get understanding and you help that next generation, man, I truly believe that God is going to give you more. God is going to give you what you need. But because I was insecure, I refused to give people the things that I knew. And now at this point in my life, man, you're going to catch me on Sundays somewhere helping another musician, helping another pastor, helping another church, trying my best to give what I've acquired to help see them grow. Man, I love being able now to say, hey, I don't know all the chords, but I'm going to teach you what I know because you can take what I learned as a foundation and add to it. And the more that I give, the more that I'm going, and this is what I'm doing. I'm giving things that I know, and then I'm going back and figuring out new things so that I can continue to help people. Man, we have to break if we want. Next week, I promise you, we're going to talk about generational curses and generational cycles and how we can really break them, because I've been studying this thing, and I got some stuff that I feel is going to help us. But I believe that the first part of that is not being gatekeepers. And not being people who just live our life so full that we don't have room for anything else. Like, we have to learn how to live a life that's empty. We have to learn to live a life poured out. We have to learn how to give to others. And yeah, this message may not be popular, but it's real. It's true. Is that the Bible says, when you give, it shall come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Like, I love the word. I love the word. And I use those principles. And that's just when they're talking of, that could be in money. You give, you're going to get it back. But I'm talking about giving to people, giving of ourselves, that we can create a better generation that can have more, that can achieve more, that can do more. My generation has done a lot. I've done a lot. Man, I bought a house. We own a house. That was great. We built a house, not to brag, but just to share what we took from what my parents gave us. we were able to build on that and go one step further. So my parents bought houses. I'm gonna look at some of these comments real quick after I share this. So yeah, my parents owned a house and I saw my mom and dad and how they owned. And I said, you know what? We're gonna buy a house. We're gonna own a house. And then Randy came in and he said, you know what? We can build a house. And thank you to her because she expanded my, I'm like, I didn't think that we were able to build a house, but we were. And so what am I saying? That the foundation that was laid for us, we took that and we built our house and we went one step further. So now I'm believing that Avery's going to be able to build 2, 3, 4 houses. Like, she's going to be able to do that. So let's take a look at some of these comments. People fear, what Jaleesa say, people fear letting someone use the tools they give them to rise above them, unknowingly at times blocking their own blessings because they could teach us more when they elevate. Exactly. That's it. And that's exactly what I'm saying, is that you hit the nail on the head, is that for so long, in our community, in our families, man, and I thank God for my family, you know, I thank God for our family, but a lot of us didn't come from families that gave us the tools to go further. A lot of us came from families who were jealous of us when they saw us do something, when they saw us achieve something. A lot of us come from communities that don't want to see you do well. And it's just the truth. It is what it is. But how we break those cycles and we break these things by giving more of ourselves, because she's absolutely right. We block our own blessings. We block the things. I think we may have all seen a meme where it's a little girl standing with a teddy bear and Jesus is like, you know, or God or whoever, one person, I'm assuming it's supposed to be Jesus. He's like, if you give me the teddy bear, I have something greater. And behind his back is this huge, gigantic teddy bear. And that's exactly what she's saying, is that unknowingly, we block our blessings when we hold on to things, like when we don't let things go. I heard a pastor, you know, and he was teaching and he was talking about tithe, giving money, saying, you know, you afraid to let go of that money. I'm using this analogy because when we don't let go of certain things, when we don't let go of things, it is true that we do block our blessings, that we hold on to things so tight because we're afraid that we're not going to get it again. And that comes back to a mindset that is a poverty mindset, meaning that we don't have enough. When we get it, we don't think we'll get it again, so we don't want to let it go. And that's a mindset that we have to shift. And that goes back to breaking what we like to call generational curses, or generational cycles, as I like to call them, cycles of not having enough, cycles of poverty, cycles of living in impoverished conditions. We have to learn how to break those cycles. And it is hard, but it is doable. But I love that comment, because we all have so many tools and things that we've learned that if we just gave to somebody else, we would get so much in return. And yeah, it blocks our own blessings because they could teach us more when they elevate. You can see so much more the higher you go. What did Keisha say? She said, one of the best things I did in life was realizing I'm irreplaceable. Thank you, sis, because I'm realizing that now. I too am irreplaceable. She said that even if I share it with someone, something to help them, it takes nothing from me. The way God sets us up, if it's your gift, he's going to continue to give you more than enough. They can do it like me, but they could never do it the way I do it. Exactly. So we about to head out, but I love that comment, and I love what you said, because once you realize that God created you special, God created you like no other, like, it begins to break a lot of those insecurities within us. And again, I talked about me, like I had a lot of insecurities, and I know that I still have some, and I'm working through those things. But as Keisha said, she said, you are irreplaceable. You are irreplaceable. Like, there is nobody on this earth who can replace you. I don't care. The one person I know who loves me unconditionally is my child. And I can never be replaced in her life. I am her dad. I am the greatest person in the world to her. And I know that. And she loves me unconditionally. I can do no wrong in her eyes. But why am I saying that? Is that you are irreplaceable. You are replaceable. I'm irreplaceable. Like, there's nobody who can take my place. There are people who need you. We are all irreplaceable because somebody needs us. Somebody needs what we have. Somebody needs what we have to give. I can help you. I can teach you. But one thing I've learned is that what Keisha said, you're never going to do it the way I did it. And I'm okay with people doing things that I've done, but you're not going to do it the way I did it because God gave it to me for a reason, because I know that I'm called to reach a select group of people. You're called to reach a select group of people. And the people that you reach may not be the people that I reach, but once we reach those people, we bring them together and we continually do more. That's how we build community. That's how we build great things, is that we all reach within our sphere of influence. And then we bring those spheres together and we continue to grow. She also said that if it's your gift, he's going to continue to grow you more than enough. Your gift is always going to make room for you. Whatever your gift is, if you're gifted in that thing, God is always going to give you what you need to grow your gift. And again, that goes back. I've been on here for an hour. I'm about to hop off. That goes back to the story of this woman who found the empty vessels and poured the oil. In the moment that the vessels were full, the oil stopped flowing. So the moment that my gift is too full, what's going to happen? My gift is going to continue to work, but my gift is not going to elevate because I'm not giving my gift room to elevate because I'm too full in that. I'm going to stay on. You ever see people who peaked at a certain point in life where they was cold in elementary? They was cold in high school, but that was it. Once they got to college, they peaked because they never grew their gift. They never grew their talent. They never put in work. If you don't put that work in, ain't nothing gonna grow. How do you put that work in? You put that work in by giving what you have to others and going and learning more. Keisha said, even if they do it better, it's okay. They can never do it the way you did it. God works on you and through you for a reason. Exactly. Even if you do it better. And I use that analogy about us owning, us building a house. Yeah, we built our house. Our house is a little bit bigger than my parents' house, the house that I grew up in. But that doesn't take away from what my parents have achieved. Man, I talked to my dad, and I'm still trying to get to the place of stability that my parents are. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you're the seed and sometimes you're the water. Exactly right. So just because we built our house and our house may be a little bit bigger, it doesn't take away from what my parents instilled in us. It doesn't take away from what they have because I'm still learning from them. I'm still growing from them. I'm still watching them saying, okay, they did this. They did that. They did that. Yep, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that. I'm watching my older sister. Like She's my big sister. My older sister, she's going to get mad at me. But she's my big sister. And I watch her. I call, hey, Keisha, I'm thinking about doing this. Like, how did you and Fred do that? What kind of advice would you give me on this? We're thinking about doing this for our family. I seen y'all did it. How did it work out? And she'll drop nuggets on me. And she'll let me know. I did X, Y, and Z. We did X, Y, and Z. And this is how that worked. Now, do I have to do it exactly the way she did it? No. But I take it. And I'm like, you know what? Well, what Keisha said, well, when they did this, this happened. And she'll give me advice and say, look out for this, look out for that. So what am I saying? Because we live empty, because we stay empty, we stay full. Because the more we give, the more we get. It's not I'm giving to get. It's I'm giving to empower the generation coming behind me. I'm giving to empower somebody who may need something. Again, that analogy of you buy a house, I might leave my furniture for the next people coming because they may need it. If they don't need it, they can get rid of it. But I don't need it because I'm going to get something new. I'm getting something else. So, man, I pray that we are grasping that if you want to stay full, you have to stay empty. Like the comments are saying, like, you got to give. And you can't be afraid of somebody technically outshining you because you can never dim my light. You can never outshine me. Because there's room enough for all of us. It's room enough for everybody. And I pray and I hope that we can start to grasp that message that there is room. And how do we make room? Your gift makes room for you. But how do we make room? We stay empty. We simply stay empty. Just like the woman, when all the jars were full, the oil stopped flowing. And so if you feel like in your life that you kind of plateaued or you kind of peaked, take inventory and see who around you can help. It don't mean you got to go pay people bills. It don't mean you got to go give people money. It don't mean you got to go give things away. But take some inventory. Look around your life and see who you can give some love to, who you can give some encouragement to, who you can give something to that's not tangible, but it's going to push them to another level. Take a look. Whether it's your children, whether it's your cousins, whether it's your coworkers, whether it's somebody on the street, whether it's a stranger, take some inventory and say, you know what, like, I haven't seen growth in certain areas of my life. Maybe I'm full here. And so maybe I need to empty myself out in this area of my life so that I can be replenished and so that I can grow. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this, is because I felt like I got to a place in my life where it's like, you know what? I'm getting full. I'm getting healed. I've come to a point where I feel like I can talk about things now, and I can share things without getting upset, and I can share things without going back to that place. So now that I'm there, it's time to give it to somebody else. It's time to pour into somebody else. So as we close, as the commenters have said, you know, if they do it better, it's okay. It's all right. I want you to do better. If you do it better, that's fine. Look in your life and find, you know, what may be causing you to not want to help people. Because, you know, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if I love myself, I'm going to help myself. And so if I'm helping myself because I love myself, then I should help my neighbor because I love my neighbor as myself, right? Exactly. So I pray that we got something out of this, man. I know it was kind of jumbled. My thoughts were a little jumbled today, but that's all right. Next week, man, I really want to talk about breaking some of these generational curses, these generational cycles, the generational curses, we can call them the curses of poverty and abuse and mistrust, and man, just breaking a lot of these generational things that have held us bound and have kept us stuck for so long. We got to do it. We got to do it. We are the aunties and the uncles now. You know what I'm saying? We the ones. We got families. We got kids. 7:30. Yep, 7:30. Yeah, because y'all definitely behind us. So that's early. I've been trying to do it a little bit later, but I work in the afternoons, 1 to 9:30. And then when I get off work, I got to go straight to bed because I'm back up at 6 to take Avery to school. But hopefully, you know, if you don't catch it right live, the replay is always going to stay up. So, man, I appreciate each and every one of you guys for tuning in. I love the conversation. Share this with somebody. Spread some love on today. Do something for yourself that makes you feel good. Do something. Do some self-care for yourself on this week if you haven't already. My self-care, man, I had to you know, decompress from the daddy-daughter dance, and I had to just sit back and take it all in and watch that video and cry and cry and cry. But then as I watched it, I just began to get so thankful of how far, you know, Avery has come and how far my family has come. Because again, she was a preemie and we did not know if she was going to make it. And we were up in that bad boy for 75 days with all types of machines. But to see her in that dress and come down those stairs made every single day that we sat up there more than worth it. And that was, watching that video daily has been part of my, adding to my mental stability, just knowing that God is always with us. So I pray that you all have been blessed. I pray that you find somebody that you can help today. I pray that you pour yourself out so that you can be poured back into. I pray that you stay empty so that you can stay full, because the more you give of yourself, the more that God is going to pour into you. If you want to read that scripture, again, I put it in there. It's 2 Kings 4, starting at verse 1, going to verse number 7. It's a short story, but it's a powerful story of how if we stay empty, the oil will never stop flowing. I pray that you've been blessed. I will see you all next week at 10:30 next Wednesday. And share, like, subscribe, man. I love y'all, and I mean it. Peace.